Thanks. Hi, thanks, Penelope. My name's Karis, I'm an addict. Do you know what? I was speaking with a sponsor yesterday, last night, and she said, oh, how are you, Kaz? I said, you know, I'm still worried, a bit worried about doing this, this share. She said, what, you still get worried? I'm saying, yeah, because sometimes things just don't get any easier, you know, it doesn't matter how long I spend here, you know, and or how clean I am. I can still get that anxiety and that self-obsession and that self-centered fear. What do people think? Will I qualify? I'm here, you know. Welcome to anyone who's new to the fellowship. You know, those who keep bouncing back in. That was my story. I kept on bouncing back in. I left NA for quite some time, over a decade, at the age of 25, and it got really, really bad. Really, really bad for me. But I'm here to give you guys some hope, you know. Today where I've been, I was at college today. I'm studying beauty therapy. And it's something I tried 10 years ago, and I got kicked out of the college. Not this college, another one. And and I remember it was like we were doing facials, and I couldn't master it because I was coming in still high, and I couldn't understand or couldn't remember what she just told us. And this time it meant so much for me to really nail this, you know. And I'm an addict, and I got distinction last week, and I'm just over the moon, you know. And it's massive for me because I can still live by the old lie that I didn't succeed then, so why would I succeed now? You know, and I tried recovery many, many times before and I didn't succeed then. And even coming back into the rooms this time around, you know, there's some people in this room who probably saw me, you know, come pick up the white key ring, go back out there, and my greatest intention was not to use, and I couldn't help it. And I know it now as powerlessness. It's amazing because today's reading, just for today, is about surrender. You know, it says surrender's for everyone. You know, it doesn't mean it's just for the newcomer. And I'm going back through 1990 again. I have to. I need to. My sponsor hasn't told me to do this. Other people haven't told me to do this, but I know it just feels right. And another relationship's come to an end, you know, and it takes a lot of... And for me, it's about... What I have learned in the last few weeks about not saving my face, but saving my ass. And it takes a lot to admit that when your ex is in the room, you know. And because for me, I always want things to be perfect, you know, and it's not always necessarily the case. You know, I come here and I learn. You know, and about this time last week, I felt so low, so, so low. And I forgot, because I tried treatment, you know, and treatment didn't do it for me. I got clean in the rooms, and this time around. And I remember they spoke about the five stages of grief, you know, when you lose anything, and that could be drugs, you know. There's that kind of, the denial, you know, it wasn't that bad, and then the bargaining, well, maybe I can't have crack, but maybe I'll just try cocaine, and maybe I'll just try it this time, and then the anger seeps in, you know, the anger, that stuff I hate to hold on to, but... I also like how it feels, like adrenaline, you know? And then the depression stage, that's where I was last week with this relationship, you know, the depression. Who's gonna want me? No one's gonna want me. I haven't got kids, I haven't got this, I haven't got that, and I start to do the compare, despair stuff. And I'm back in my step six again. And people said to me, Karis, just sit with the pain. Don't go underneath it, don't go around it. And what I know today, using is not even, doesn't even come into the equation. I don't even want to use. And I don't, the pain can be that bad, but using doesn't come into it. You know, and that's why I've re-surrendered and recommitted to the program. I sponsor women, yes I do. I have three commitments today, and I had that even before this happened, but it's still about turning up, suit up, boot up, and just do what I have to do, even when I don't want to do it. And I'm in step six again, and I can feel the defects of this jealousy. And it's like, my God, you know, in beauty school, you can imagine it's about 99% women, and about 80% of those women, about 90% of them, like 25 and under, right? And I'm 42, and I'm looking at these women, and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, the ribs are so small, the skin's so tall, and the eyelashes are so ding, and they don't need hardly any makeup to look fabulous, and I do everything, and I break myself down to that. And it happened like a few weeks ago. Something's happened this week where I've just gotten through a lot of self-acceptance. around it. Like, Karis, you are where you are, and I'm really starting to love myself for who I am. You know, not many people, most of us die from this disease, that's what I do know. And I'm lucky, in fact, I'm so blessed to have made it to 42 years of age. Fact. Because there's a lot more people out there that don't even make it that far because they're just not here. They just don't. And something's happened, right? So Penelope asked me earlier, Karis, do you have a pen to write down, to record your name and the date in the book? I said, yeah, I've got loads of pens. And what was happening is that people had asked me, some of these women in the rooms have asked me, in the beauty class have asked me, oh, can you lend me a pen? I've got my pen. And I say, no, I haven't got one. And I've got loads, I'm an addict. I always come prepared, right? And I'm sitting there, it's like, no, you're not having a pen, no, no. And the jealousy, what it can do, it spins onto selfishness, self-centeredness, greed. One thing goes into another, you know, and I'm just like this, holding. I've only got one pair of hands, as you can see. I'm not a centipede. I can only ever write with one pen. I'm ambidextrous. So, and what it does, it eats away at me, you know. I'm filled with the same toxic energy that I felt when I came in. You know, when I was coming in, I was angry with the world. I was angry with my dad. I was angry with my mum. I was angry with what NA had said that they were supposed to do, and they didn't do it, but I didn't put in the effort. I didn't do it. That's the truth. I wouldn't do 1990. I wouldn't get a sponsor. I wouldn't do service. If I didn't have a sponsor, I'm not going to do the steps. And I hated NA. You know, I had the basic blue text. I share this every time. I ripped up, I used it as paraphernalia because of my anger. You know, the roaches are just ripped away, ripped away, ripped, ripped. And, but what I know is that this program works. If I apply it, it works. And I'm going back to basics, like it says in the book, because complacency and conceit and conceitedness, you know, are the two greatest enemies for me. Because I think, yeah, I'm 5.5 years clean. I don't need to be doing this much, or I don't need to be doing that much. And the fact is, Karis, you're going to feel, and I'm going to feel certain things that were never there when I never experienced some of these feelings when I was using, let alone when I've come in, you know. And if I allow it to, it will cripple me. And if I allow it to cripple me, it got to a place I wouldn't even share it because there's women who I sponsor in the rooms, in the meeting, and I don't want to share it because what will they think? You know, and what it is that I'm just another addict, just trying to get another day clean like everyone else. You know, and you know, what I will say is, for me it's quite important to share this, you know, and it's part of my journey, it's part of my truth. You know, when I first came in, I prostituted in the rooms. You know, I was coming to meetings and I was going back out there and I was prostituting. And to do something like that, and I managed to get 4 months clean, but to do such a soul destroying job, you know, clean, is it takes some guts. It takes some guts. Not only does it do that, but it destroyed my soul to the point that all I could do is pick up. You know, because I didn't have that relief at the end. I didn't have drugs at the end, but also I didn't even have the steps, so I didn't even understand the process, what I was going through. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't trust people in the room. When they rang me, I just looked at the phone and just thought, oh God, what do I do? And people, you know, and I've had women come up to me and say, why do you share that? You shouldn't be sharing that stuff. But yeah, do you know what? Because it took me to be 4 or 5 months until I heard the first woman share that in the rooms. And I wouldn't share that because I thought it was strictly about Narcotics Anonymous, about the drugs. That's what I thought it was. But the longer I stay here, what I do know is that the more will be revealed. More is revealed in the coming back, you know, more is being revealed. Sometimes I read Just for Today, and I didn't get it sometimes in my first year, like, what's his defects, what's this? But the more I keep coming back, the more I start to get to know. It's bigger than using, it's bigger than the drugs. Thank you, Penelope. It's amazing how the disease of addiction will still try to divide me and look for the differences, you know. I remember when I first asked for sponsorship, and I told my sponsor, and she said, "Oh, I think it's a good idea." And I was hoping she'd say no, because I was so selfish. I said, "No, I think it's a good idea." And I met with the woman, and then she's going to do her life story. And I said to my sponsor, she said, "Yeah." She said, "So how are you going to do it?" And I said, "You know, we're going to meet in a coffee shop." And she said, "Cam," she said, "did I meet you in a coffee shop?" And I said, "Well, no." Which I said, "Yeah, I met you at your house." And she said, "Caris." She said, "Why a coffee shop?" And I said this, because I looked at the differences. This woman lived in Notting Hill. She lived in this huge house in Notting Hill. And I live in a council flat. And I thought, I can't have that woman from that background in my flat. And my sponsor said, "Caris, it's not about that. It's our common denominator is the disease of addiction. No matter what happens, you know, that tradition one, unity. And no matter what happens, you know, I have to think of..." And my sponsor said, "You know, Caris, she's asked as many people as she wanted, but she came and she asked you specifically." And what's happened a few weeks ago, I'm part of prison sponsorship, I sponsor as well in through prison sponsorship, and I got a request from this woman, and who's going through, she's transgender. And the first reaction was like, "Shit, sorry, oh God. What do I do? Because I'm not gonna understand it. What do I do?" And it's not about that. It's about that someone wants to know how to take me through the 12 steps. And my head can still complicate that, you know? What I'm gonna say is, you know, like I said, I have three commitments now, and something was just missing even before the relationship came to an end, you know? And I had two commitments and I decided to take on a third one. I'm part of PI. I'm going to my first presentation with this Scottish man on Monday. so I can't wait to do that. And I'm a chair finder for my home group. I think it's really important to have a home group. I love it. It's Brixton, 7 p.m. on the Sunday. I love the group, I just love it. Because I just know people there, and it's my first meeting that I ever went to, and it's a meeting where I heard the message, you know, 12 years later. And then I have one at Area as well. And for me, it's very important to do service because it keeps me connected with the meetings. It really keeps me connected. What I'm going to share is this. You know, in my using, my father, he's 75 years of age. And he lives in Jamaica now. And so what I did, he met one of the people I worked with. I introduced him to a pimp, as though someone who I work normally with, you know, at this coach station, and took this woman into the house, and she met my family, my little brother who's autistic, and it came out. And my dad was horrified, absolutely horrified, and he couldn't understand what happened. And 2 months ago, he turned 75. You know, and I will share about the ripple effect that recovery, that NA recovery specifically has for me on relationships, where the disease of addiction may have destroyed them, have destroyed those specific areas. And what I did, you know, I got him a cake and I sang happy birthday to him. He hates that stuff, he really doesn't like it. He's old school Jamaican, he doesn't like it. And he sent me this text and it says, "Please convey," he says, "my sincere thanks and gratitude to you for a very lovely day." He says, one of my best. Four words, full stop. For a man 75 years to say that. And it's not by my doing, it's by the power here. I didn't want to cry, so I always seem to cry when I do chairs, but it's just my gratitude to this program. Today I have life, today I have acceptance as well around a lot of things as well. How much time do I have?
Yeah, it's about a minute.
Okay, I have a lot of acceptance, and by wading through that pain, wading through that powerlessness, so the jealousy or the pain that something else has come to another end, and where I'm comparing, and this week I've gone in, and the self-acceptance is amazing, the fifth part of that stage of grief. You know, the acceptance I've got around myself. You know, someone asked me for a pen today and I gave it to them gladly. And you know what? I didn't even ask for it back. Have it. That selflessness, right? Because of where I'm at in here. So when I'm good in here, everything else seems beautiful out there. If you're new, please keep coming back. You can get a life beyond your wildest dreams, I promise you. But the magic is in the keep coming back. Thank you. Yeah.